You know, when Hurricane Katrina slammed into New Orleans and the lower Mississippi area, did that happen because the folks who live there are such bad people? In 2006, about a quarter of a million people in Indonesia and all across the South Pacific were killed in that tremendous tsunami that hit that area. Did that happen because of their religious beliefs? And recently, you know very well that both Haiti and Chile have been rocked by massive earthquakes, tremendous destruction, and a horrible loss of life. Did that happen because, well, obviously those folks are very evil and they deserved it, right? How about that World Trade Center worker whose car wouldn't start on September 11th, 2001, and he was late for work, and his life was spared from that terrorist attack because he was a good person, while about those 3,000 other people who died that day, they got what was coming to them, right? Well, you could take dozens of others, similar situations, tragedies, disasters, and you could make those kind of judgment calls or make those kind of assertions. When bad things happen to people, it happens to them. I mean, when bad things happen to people, it happens because they're bad people, right? Does anybody here believe that today? I would be greatly surprised if you believe it. I don't believe it. And as a matter of fact, Jesus doesn't believe it. How do we know that? Well, I call your attention, please, to Luke, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 9. Listen to what he said, okay? Now, there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Pilate killed them. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way?" Jesus answers his question. "I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Jesus brings up another situation they'd heard about. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them. Do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Then he told them this parable. A man had a fig tree, planted it in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I have been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." Jesus, in the 12th chapter of Luke, had been in the process of talking about judgment, signs of judgment, how you could know it was coming. And then he reacts to some news, some well-known news of his day about the Galileans who were killed by Pilate as they were offering their sacrifices. We kind of have to assume from what Jesus was saying, it would be a common assumption for folks of that time to think, well, bad things happen to bad people. What did these folks do to deserve such a tragedy as this? You remember Pilate, don't you? What do you know about Pilate? He was the guy who condemned Jesus to death at the end of the Gospels. And we know from other historians that Pilate was very efficient. He was very brutal at enforcing law and order among the Jews and the people in his control. As the procurator of Rome, he took his job seriously and he did it with great violence. Now, Luke doesn't tell us why he killed these Galileans, and no other ancient sources tell us about such a massacre, probably because it was so commonplace. He did stuff like this all the time. That's how Pilate managed the Jews and others. You know, when you are an occupying army in a foreign country and you want to control the people, a lot of times guys figure they have to be violent about it. By the way, Pilate was eventually removed from his position because he was so cruel and so mean, even the Romans couldn't stomach it anymore. So he was kicked out of his job. Now, in that kind of context, you know, people were always asking Jesus for his opinion. Hey, Rabbi, what about this? Hey, Rabbi, what about that? So you can just hear that one day somebody pipes up and says, Jesus, did you hear about what Pilate did to those Galileans up there at the temple? It's almost implied by the question being asked. You say, wonder what those people did to deserve this. That's really why Jesus is being asked the question. Elsewhere in the Gospel of John, do you remember that time they came across a blind man and they said, hey, Jesus, how come this guy was born blind? Was it because of his sin or was it because of his parents' sin? The assumption was he was blind because of somebody's sin. Well, Jesus, is he drawn into a discussion like that? Is he drawn into such an argument about who sinned or who caused this tragedy? No. He actually throws the whole question right back in their laps. And he says, do you think these guys, these Galileans, were any worse sinners than anybody else? I tell you emphatically, no. How much clearer can Jesus be? Or about those folks who in Siloam who had a tower fall on them, the tower fell down and killed a bunch of them? No, no. Obviously, Jesus doesn't buy into the theology of the day that said bad things happen to bad people. And if Jesus doesn't buy into it, you know what that means? That means God is not working that way in the world today. Wow, that's an amazing insight. And we know from experience that many times bad things happen to good people. And good things happen to bad people. And bad things happen to bad people. And good things happen to good people. You got all that? There'll be a quiz at the end of the sermon, okay? Well, you know that, don't you? Just from experience. And it is a patchwork. There's no pattern. There's no sense of cause and effect. And it leaves us scratching our heads. But it tells us you can't reduce things to simple explanations, folks. It just doesn't work that way. If it did, I believe Jesus would have explained it to him. He says, hey, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Hey, you never know. On Facebook this week, my son-in-law quoted, I think, something that's been around for a while, an old thing, and he said, when I was a kid, I kept telling my parents over and over, that's not fair, that's not fair. And now I'm starting to hear from my kids the very same thing. That's not fair. That's not fair. Finally, someone agrees with me. You remember what it was like being a kid. How many times did you say it? That's not fair. How many times have you heard it from your little ones? Or big ones, you know? They really say it when they're teenagers. Wow. That's not fair. I have a question for you today. Maybe I've asked it before. Who said life would be fair? Where's that written down? Can you find it in the Bible anywhere? Is it a law? Is it a rule? Where did you get this idea that life should be fair or that it would be fair? I declare, if someone asked you today to give an honest description of the times in your life when you felt that you were treated unfairly, you could probably talk for hours, couldn't you? Oh, yeah, I remember this time. Oh, yeah, I remember that time. Let me tell you, man, I felt like a fool. I was cheated. It wasn't fair. You could talk for a long, long time. And there are probably a whole lot of things that you described to that person that you'd be right about. You weren't treated fairly. Maybe other times you got what you deserve. But sooner or later, you learn. You learn. That's life. That's just the way it is. It's just given to you and it's not explained. Okay? That's life. Now, you see, we may like to have a little logical, analytical discussion about this topic, but see, that's what they wanted to talk about when they asked Jesus this question. Those Galileans, do you hear about that? And Jesus says, well, let's not talk about the Galileans, okay? Let's talk about you. Because I tell you, unless you repent, you're in big trouble. There are consequences. And then he tells this story about the intense consequences that there are if you don't produce fruit in the kingdom of God. You want to talk about somebody else, don't you? Jesus doesn't let you get away with that. I tell you, unless you repent, you shall also be under judgment. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's going to be judged by this very same man, Pilate. And Pilate's going to pass his judgment on Jesus and put him to death. But ironically, who's going to exercise judgment over Pilate? Eventually, when his kingdom is brought into the world and in the world to come, who's the judge of the world? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. We might like to speak about who is suffering in the world and why and have a little theological discussion about spiritual matters, but Jesus won't let us. He turns the tables on us. He presses us and says, you must repent. You got to let go of what you want and let God have a grip on you. He did this more than once, didn't he? He said of himself one time, I am the light of the world. And then what did he say? And you are the light of the world. Now, don't just see me and bask in my light. You get out there and you be the light. And let them see your good works so much so that they see what you're doing and the good you're doing. And they give glory to who? You? No. To your Father who's in heaven. You get out there and be the light of the world. The bottom line is for us today, we learn from this in the Bible, Jesus is content to let God worry about who deserves what. Okay? And if Jesus is content to let God worry about who deserves what, we should be content with that too. Don't bother to ask the question. Just let it go. Jesus expects you to get your life in line with the will of God, or there will be consequences.